The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM stereo.
This is Inside Sports.
Rashid Mamla, the first South African to get 300 in a test match. Your country salutes you.
Inside the News.
That's a really good goal. It's Shabalala.
Inside the Updates.
Zeya Kolisi and South Africa are Rugby World Cup kings in Japan.
Inside Sport.
Assalamu alaikum. Just gone 3 minutes past eight and a very good evening to you. Listening to Inside Sport, exclusive to the Voice of the Cape, where we cover all the latest news and chat to past and present sports stars as well. I'm your host, Feroz Sheikh. My tech tonight is Nazim Peterson. We're talking cricket tonight. My guest is the former Montrose and Western Province wicketkeeper batsman, Nazim White. But before I chat to Nazim, let's catch up with the latest news coming through. There was a double header in the IPL today, getting down to the business end of things in that tournament. The Chennai Super Kings beat the Kings 11 Punjab by 9 wickets in the first match in Dubai, chasing 154 to win. They reached their target in 18.5 overs. Second game just completed a couple of minutes ago. The Kolkata Knight Riders beat the Rajasthan Royals by 60 runs in that second match, chasing 192. Rajasthan were restricted to 131 for 9. There's four games in the Premier League today. Well, two completed. Southampton, a good win there. They beat Aston Villa 4-3 in a 7-goal thriller. Newcastle, good win for them as well, beating Everton 2-1. Manchester United currently taking on Arsenal. 75 minutes gone into that match. Arsenal leading 1-0. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang netting a penalty a couple of minutes ago. And there's a late game as well. Tottenham Hotspur take on Brighton. That match getting underway at a 9:15. Back at home, and SuperSport United and Bloem Celtic play to a 1-1 draw in the MTN 8 first leg semi-final. And Lewis Hamilton won the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix in Imola in northern Italy. Finished ahead of teammate Valtteri Bottas, while Daniel Ricciardo in a Renault finished a third. Time now to say assalamu alaikum and a very good evening to my guest Nazim White. Thanks for joining me on Voice of the Cape.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Awesome to be with you this evening.
And you, of course, can join the conversation. Call 021-442-3530 or WhatsApp 072-238-0712 for any comments or questions as well. Nazim, let's start off with your early days now. Like many sportsmen and women that played in the days of apartheid, who played winter sport as well as summer sport, I think you were no different as well. I believe you played soccer for, once a defender, I believe. No, midfielder for Sea Point Swifts. Is that correct? And then it was cricket in summer.
That's absolutely correct. I was born in Bonthevelle, a township on the Cape Flats. And I can tell you, Bonthevelle was a sports mad township. The likes of the first Bafana Bafana captain, Calvin Peterson, comes from Bonthevelle. Kevin Valentine, William Anderson, Sadiq Benjamin, Carl Solomons, so many great players came from Bonthevelle. It was sports all the way, and it was always competitive. And I think that also pushed you to be part of what you call the elite players in Bonthevelle, because there were so many quality players. You want to play first team sports. And then cricket, there was not a cricket club around in Bonthevelle. I went down to Avondale Cricket Club as a youngster. That was the closest cricket club, and they played in the Western Province Cricket Union that time. And obviously that didn't go too well at school level. But I just wanted to play. When things got a bit heated, you couldn't represent Western Province Senior Schools and quite a few other things where you were labeled as an outcast, you know, playing on the other side. I then joined St. Augustine's Cricket Club, where I started in the under 16B team. And we had to travel from Bonthevelle to Turfle, walk the long road down Belgravia Road to get there. And from there, things really took off. I represented Western Province Senior Schools quite a few times, and also the South African Senior Schools. And that's when I was noticed by the South African Cricket Board or the Western Province Cricket Board selector has been selected into the Western Province under 21 team, the B team, and then the Howard Bowl team.
Yeah. Were you always a wicketkeeper? You know, when you speak to the former sportsmen and women, they always start off in another position, either football or cricket, and then end up in the position where they, you know, became famous or whatever. Now, were you also a wicketkeeper initially? Or how did you, if not, how did you become a wicketkeeper?
No, I wasn't a wicketkeeper from the beginning. When I played for Avondale, I think I played in the third team one Saturday, the late Basil Waterwitz. These were guys that were my mentors when I played. Basil Waterwitz, the late Bert Eriksson down at Avondale Cricket Club. The keeper didn't pitch up. I think we played UCT on the old Pylons cricket ground still, or the UCT grounds that was situated in Pylons. Mm. And I decided, well, I'll take the gloves. And yeah, that's where it all started. I just stood in for someone, and I liked the feeling about it, and I became the keeper every
week.
And
they say the rest is history.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about your club cricket first of all. I believe you played for Montrose Cricket Club for many, many years. Where was that club based? And share some of those Montrose memories with us.
Yeah, let me just take you back before Montrose Cricket Club. I spent an entirety at Montrose Cricket Club. I joined St. Augustine's Cricket Club from under 16, stayed with them, and because my two elder brothers, they played for St. Augustine's, and I just followed. And I played there for a couple of seasons, and then one day we played Montrose at Alphandale out in Heatfield, and Montrose's was star-studded, the likes of Vincent Barnes, Reggie February, Amin Jaban, Nasser Antulay, Mansoor Abdullah.
Household names.
How you know them. They came down to Alphandale, and Vinny and Reggie and Jabbar, them just ran through the St. Augustine's batting lineup. But I got 60.
Okay.
And the gentleman, the late Ibrahim Ali, the manager and one of the owners of Montrose Cricket Club, he was standing in. I think Muhammad Zain Ali came late, and he stood in, and he was standing at short leg, and he said to me, Nazim, this is your last season at St. Augustine's Cricket Club. And the next season when I joined Montrose, they had a newsletter. St. Augustine's had a newsletter, and in the newsletter it said it was a calculated shark attack by Montrose to take Nazim White to Montrose Cricket Club. So then I joined Montrose. I spent easily about 22 seasons at Montrose. I'm still a Montrose member. I play in the over 40s team. I'm the captain there. But when I started out at Montrose, they had all these stars there. The Mansoor Abdullahs, like I mentioned to you, Vincent Barnes, Amin Jabbar, Mervyn Turon, Stuart Hendricks, Amin Martin. They basically had a Howard Bowl team.
Yeah.
That was Montrose. So, and there was a wicketkeeper called the late, Karim Kahar. But I think he was on his way out, and that's why, where I came in. And I started batting at number 8 for Montrose, although I was a number 4 batsman at St. Augustine's. But when I looked at the personnel around me, I could fully understand.
Yeah.
And I thought, wait, this is good. I'll be the keeper, and when I get a chance, because there's too many great players ahead of me. And as the years progress, obviously some players stopped playing, and I moved higher up in the order where I ended up batting number 4 for Montrose Cricket Club. It was good years at Montrose, I can tell you that, because I also think that Montrose was the club that started what you call the professional era. And a lot of people said they called us the Banana Boys because Montrose Cricket Club was based in Repulse Road in Pendleton Estate, and they played out of Rockland's cricket ground, or the sports fields down there. Hectic down there on a Saturday. The wind just gust all the time. But that's where it started for me. And like I said, they started what you call the professional era. They went to get players. Mm-hmm. If you want to be the best, Montrose believe we're gonna go get the players, and that's why they most seasons they had either a full Howard Bowl team, or they had between 8 or 9 players that represented Howard Bowl during that period. started off with the likes like Amin Jabbar, Mervyn Turan, Vincent Barnes, Stuart Hendricks, one of the great opening batsmen, I think, that the South African Cricket Board had, and Western Province. Quality players. And I think my mentors that time was Mansoor Abdullah from a batting point of view, and Muhammad Zain Ali. And then obviously playing with the likes of Vincent Barnes and Reggie Fiburi, Amin Jabbar, Nasser Antulé. You can mention all these guys all the time. But I think it was the right setup for me when I left St. Augustine's to play for Montrose, because it was all about winning.
Yeah.
Amin Jabbar, he did not believe in losing. He was one of those captains that you would rather declare early when your team is 75 for 9 and then get the opposition in, try to bowl them out cheaply and chase a score that was in reachable to us. But it was good times at Montrose. Then as we moved on, the likes of Sukri Conrad joined Montrose Cricket Club. Hassan Pankaka came over. Dion Kemp. The more younger generation filtered in. And Montrose remained a powerhouse in the Western Province Cricket Board, and nexting quite a few league titles, one-day titles. And then clubs like Primrose and United came on board by also starting to what we call UN to get players, because you need to compete. And they also started looking for quality players to match what Montrose has put in place. But I don't think it was a bad thing for Montrose to do that. I think it's just up the ante from being competitive, having quality cricket every weekend. And during the board days, the games, Montrose, Primroses, United, Montrose, it was packed at the Greenpoint track at Rosmead Oval, or cricket ground, when those games took place, because everybody wanted to see the cream of the crop of Western Province cricket. It was quality cricket that was played. Yeah, I stayed there very long at Montrose. I still with Montrose. But it was good years at Montrose. It's most probably one of the better clubs around. They're going through a lean period at the moment. Things is, they're playing in the third tier of the Western Province Cricket Association now. The nice thing about the club is that all the ex-players like Nilton Miller, Dion Kemp, Hassan Pankaka, Mario Solomons, they're all playing in the Legends team in the Western Province Cricket Association over 40s league. And obviously from that league, you can qualify to play for the Proteas over 50 in the World Cup that is now held every 2 years.
Fantastic. Now we've just got a message from Ridwan G, who says salam, another true Cape Town legend there. So absolutely correct, Ridwan. But Nazim, my question, you touched a little bit about the Uniteds and the Primroses and stuff like that. Just tell us more in terms of the rivalries between these teams. I'm sure you mentioned the crowds and stuff, but I'm sure, you know, obviously you guys played for Western Province, but when it was the club, time for the clubs to play each other, I'm sure it must have been really heated out there and really, you know, going at one another. Just share some of those memories with the likes of these teams.
No, it was crazy. I can tell you, especially when you Manchester United.
Well, they're playing at the moment.
when Montrose played United down at the Greenpoint track, it was, I think the fact that quite a few players played for United and for Montrose, and then vice versa, they joined both clubs at any time of their career, made it even more interesting. You're going down to the Greenpoint track. It was almost like war. I can tell you, it was in the middle. It was hard. You were basically put under so much pressure, and the verbal abuse was crazy. And I can tell you, the crowds got involved. There was one game when crowds had to be separated because what happened in the stands, and it was crazy. Shukri Conrad played for United Cricket Club, and then the year after that he joined Montrose after a couple of seasons. I can tell you, it was crazy when you went back to the Greenpoint track. The same with Mansoor Abdullah, first a Montrose guy, go back to United, you pitch up there. I tell you, it was quality cricket. And the good thing about it, it was you had the best of the best on show on those days. You had the Baby Diamonds running in for United and Sally Green from the other side and, Vincent Barnes, Reggie February, Amin Jabbar. So it was quality. And I think that is what made, board cricket, so good, you know, and a lot of people don't realize the quality of what we put out there and the quality of players and the brilliance of the Western Province and South African Cricket Board players that played in these matches. But your question was, what happened in the middle?
Yeah.
It was war.
That's all
I can say.
Well, you know, you say because Province dominated board cricket, you know, and obviously I'm sure the same would be for the clubs because it would be a very strong tournament and competition. What would you say were your strengths as a batsman and a keeper?
I think I was very fit. Firstly, I played, like you said, soccer in winter. I played for Seapoint Swifts and I played football at a high level. I actually came in the team as an 18-year-old for Seapoint Swifts and as a midfield player. I used to be. They used to call me like they call Bobby Solomon's, he's got awesome. That's his nickname, awesome. So I had lots of awesome to put it that way. I could run up and down. So that carried over to the summer sport where you basically go over and as a wicket keeper, you got to set the tone in the field. Mm. You got to be the fittest. I believe that because you got your captain that depends on you, the bowler, the likes of Reggie February when he warmed up bowling, you would sling a couple wide down the leg side and you got to go get them, but you got to be fit. That is one. What was one of my attributes? I was very fit when I played sport, and obviously from a batting point of view, I was a more classy batsman. I'm not a guy that go out there and would go smash the ball. I would build up innings and play long innings and score lots of runs. My favorite shot was the cover drive. Mm. But I think also what was my strength was my mental attitude because when you're fit, you can just about do anything. And I felt that being fit, I could play for long periods. I could run well between the wickets. And I could also read the game and also decide when I go on the attack and when you need to change the tone of the innings. Because remember, I played in an era when I had great players. I could just go play my own game because the Mansoor Abdullahs would score runs on the other side, the MZ Alis, so many great players. Saeed Majid, the late Saeed Majid, would score a lot of runs. So my role was eventually later years, I played a more prominent role when these guys retired. With the likes of Faik Davids and Ismail Bihadin. We were called the Three Musketeers as the youngsters in the team, and Dion Kemp came in as well, and Adnan Meyer was also then coming in. So there was great youngsters coming through with Sukri Conrad as well. So it was always the great players coming through, quality players replacing the older players. But yeah, it was all about fitness that made you be successful out in the middle.
Well, Ridwan says again, all-round athlete here about his running days from Ridwan. So were you an athlete as well?
No, I think he's got a lot of people confuse me and Nazim Smith. Nazim Smith was the runner.
The runner.
I was the cricketer. Okay. So Nazim Smith was an awesome sprinter. And he could play cricket, he could play rugby. But he's referring to Nazim Smith.
Did you get any opportunities, for example, to play in the Federation? Because you said, you know, obviously you played for Seapoint Swifts and, you know, quite a good footballer as well. Did any chances like that come up to play Federation football?
No, I when I said I was a good footballer, I don't think I was that good to play for the Cape Town Spurs and that. I think there was the players like Carl Solomons and Kevin Valentine. Even Vincent Barnes, he was an awesome soccer player.
Yeah.
I think I was just there about where you're good enough. And that is where I saw myself as a board player. So you get selected from your club, everybody else, and you form a board team. I think I was just about there for playing board football.
You know, Nazim, funny enough, we're chatting off air now, and you know, obviously you were a wicket keeper, and I was talking about the Kolkata Knight Riders match, and I seen this catch from Dinesh Kartik, and I'm sure, and we chatted it. just want to touch on your memory a little bit, where it's just pure reflexes. It's like a goalkeeping catch, you know, trying to picture a goalkeeper saving a ball from the corner of the upright and the crossbar, because he was wrong-footed and then he had to move to the other side. Did you? I'm sure you would have, but I'm just wondering, you know, can you remember anything like that that has stuck to your memory?
Well, most recently, and I'm going to come to that catch in the over 50s World Cup against India in March. But prior to that, in my younger days, to put it that way, it was purely reflexes. Yeah. But again, it was based on, and this is for younger wicketkeepers, if they're listening, you've got to be fit. You've got to be mentally fit. You've got to know when those catches come, your team expect you to get to it. The bowler would love you to get to it. And obviously, it can turn the game around. Yeah. You can win a game. But, You got to be very agile to and you also got to anticipate. So the key to that is when you start off, you talk to your first slip, you talk to your second slip, and you decide what is the space that you're gonna cover because of your ability. So that is how I measured myself and say, I think I can get this far to get that catch. So my first slip always used to stand a bit wider, and second, and then it covers a bit more spaces. But being a keeper and getting to those catches is purely reflexes, and you got to read the delivery also very quickly, because it's normally just a thick edge or a faint edge that just flies off the bat, you know. But also you practice that at practice. I think during the apartheid days, the board days, we didn't have good facilities. But the one thing that we always did on our practice field was doing those slip catches, those edges, you know, those reflexes. Those were important because you could do that on a Tuesday and a Thursday. So when it comes to game time, you felt good behind the stumps. But you've got to be agile. You've got to read the delivery. And you've got to say, you've given your first slip the space, you're going to have to go get it. Let's go back to the World Cup one. So we played India at Langa Cricket Ground, and the wicket was playing a bit up and down, and I had to find myself in a position. Either I can't be too far or too close, and I decided, well, I'm going to go halfway. And the two Indian opening batsmen were going quite well at that time, and Bradley Player, the former Free State player, he then got the ball. He came back from injury, and he just bowled one that moved away, and the Indian guy went to cut at it, and I can tell you that ball, if I think you saw
flying.
That, it was going quite wide, and those are the ones that stuck. You've got to give yourself a chance, and I think it just stuck in the two index finger and next to the index finger, and it was just an amazing catch, and I could watch that video over and over. But reflexes, you got to be alert all the time, because they say, as a keeper, you must expect everything that comes to you. And I think I did well in that game. I had four dismissals that game. I think it was four catches and a stumping. So, that was one of the games. As a keeper, you feel very proud of yourself.
No, fantastic. We're going to take a break just now for Zahn. But before we do that, we just want to look at some of your stats. Now, according to Crick Info, your first-class career ran from 82-83 to 94-95. Obviously, from most of it was coming through the board, and then a couple of years in Unity, where you finished off with Grikula and Wes, scoring 805 runs, 200s with a high score of 125, not out. By the way, who was that against? Can you remember?
That was against Natal at UWC in 1990.
Okay, board cricket, right?
That's right.
Okay. 407, I mean, that was a brilliant season for you, that final season. 407 runs coming in that last season of the Howard Ball, which is 1991 season, where you finished top run scorer and, I believe, player of the year as well. So that must have been a huge achievement for you there, Nazim.
No, absolutely. And I think what makes it even more special that it was the last season of Howard Ball cricket, or South African cricket, board cricket. And it was just one of those seasons when the runs couldn't stop flowing, not only for Western Province, but also at club level. And also from a keeping perspective, I think I had 23 dismissals and 6 stumpings in that season. It's a record actually for Western Province Cricket Board.
Yeah.
I ended up with 77 dismissals and I think 12 stumpings. The late Bremer Isaacs, I think he ended up on 121. so it was a good season all around. And also the way I those runs were scored, and especially against 109 against Transvaal at UWC, we were in deep trouble when myself and Andre Viljoen came to the crease and rescued Western Province actually in that game. Mm. And then I also know I scored a 64 against Transvaal at Lanesia. Again, we were in trouble. So it wasn't just going in. The platform was set. It was where you had to go graph and get your team out of trouble. So it was good. And from a keeping perspective also, I think the one game I got 6 catches and 2 stumpings. It's a record for Howard Ball Cricket and for Western Rounds Cricket Board.
And of course, and after that, you were selected for the last ever non-racial selected, the South African Cricket Board team that was equivalent to, if we could say, the national team or if you approach your team under the board level. And then you played 2 matches there against the rest of South Africa at Buffalo Park in East London. So that was obviously a huge achievement as well. And I'm just going to go through, because we're going to take that Azan break now. I'm just going to look at this team and we'll talk about it when we come back. That team was Saeed Majid was the captain, Vincent Barnes, Andre Peters, Harun Logat, Kaya Majola, Faik Davids, Imran Munshi, Nazim White, Abdulhak Manak, Yasin Beg, Ismail Biadin, and 12th man was Hussein Manak. So that was a brilliant team. But we'll talk about this team when we come back from the Azan break.
This is Inside Sports.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back. You just gone 8:41. My guest tonight is the former Western Province wicketkeeper batsman and Nazim White. Now, before the break, we're chatting about that last ever non-racial team, Nazim, the SACBI board team that took on the SA, rest of SA at Buffalo Park in East London. And I just named that team and I can remember these guys were household names. I'm just going to go through it again. Saeed Majid, captain, of course, he would have walked into a Proteas team anytime. Vincent Barnes, we know Vincent Barnes, I mean, his reputation and what he did. Actually, his average is actually quite phenomenal, you know, for a fast bowler. Andre Peters from Eastern Province, Harun Logat, Kaya Majola, Faik Davids, Imran Munshi, yourself, Abdulhak Manak, Yasin Beg, Ismail Biadin, and the 12th man was Hussein Manak. So that was a very, very powerful team there, Nazim, and it must have been a privilege for you to be part of that team and amongst those names there.
No, absolutely. And I think that team is most probably the cream of the crop of South African Cricket Board. You couldn't go wrong with the selection of that team. But I think it was also a recognition for what you have achieved over the years, and especially where I was selected in the last season, it was well rewarded. But if you look at the names down there, it's basically legends of the game. And it's so sad that so many South Africans did not to see those guys play. I mean, those were guys at top of their game, the late Saeed Majid, Harun Logat, Kaya Majola, Vincent Barnes. You know, you look at that, you can say, and for people that associate themselves with West South African Cricket Board, they would say that was a genuine selection of the best of SACBI cricket.
Yeah.
For me, it was an honor to have been selected. I think to be selected, it was almost like our national team.
Yes.
To put it that way.
Yes.
And yeah, I'm very proud that I was part of that team. It was just an amazing end to what we call the history of South African Cricket Board, and also what happened on the trenches during the apartheid years.
Now, if we had to look, I would say, most probably half, if not more of them, would have played for the Proteas had they been given a chance. Unfortunately, you know, Unity just came a bit too late for these guys. I mean, you included, you played now for the over 50s. I mean, that must have been a phenomenal feeling to take part in an international event. You're playing with international former players, you know, other countries that you most probably never thought you would do that playing board cricket. Am I correct?
No, absolutely. I think that was most probably the cherry on top to represent your country. It was a proper World Cup. You had Alan Donnell as the coach, Dave Callahan, former Pro Tier players being part of the team. So it was an achievement for me. I'm proud that I could make that team. I always said when I was selected for that team that I represent basically a broader spectrum of South African cricket board players who never had the opportunity, like you mentioned. I think there were so many players that would have played for the Pro Tiers, and it's a pity that some of my former cricketing mates couldn't make that team. Some of them don't play cricket at the moment, and there will be more opportunities for players of from the South African Cricket Board that can make that team in 2022. But it was really something that you always look forward to. I think when you, as a youngster growing up, you always want to play for the Pro Tiers. You had obviously your heroes on the other side of the fence, you know, the Alan Lambs, the Peter Kirsten. Obviously we all grew up with those names, and you say, one day I want to play for South Africa. It never happened during the apartheid days, but I was so privileged to have been selected, and I thoroughly enjoyed the experience, and I'm very proud of myself, and I think also my family. You know, you represent not only yourself when you represent, like I said, almost everybody of the South African Cricket Board that aspire to be in a team like that.
Well, absolutely. I mean, like myself, when we see the team, the first thing you're looking for to see is there any board players in that team, and there weren't many. I think it was you
It was myself and Hendry Williams and Enville Newman.
So it's just three.
There's three players, yeah.
Out of the entire squad, which, like you say, unfortunately, the former board players are not playing. Maybe that is why. But just to touch a little bit as well. Now, it's that World Cup is very serious, right? It's every 4 years. Unfortunately, COVID-19 put an end to that. You played India and it stopped. But then you have to play in an over 40 league, which is currently happening, to gain selection. Just touch a little bit on that over 40 league. How does it work?
Yeah. So about 3 years ago, South Africa were invited to the first over 50s World Cup in Sydney, Australia. I was also contacted to play, but I decided not to play in that World Cup because I wasn't really competitive playing at that stage. And then what needed to happen, South Africa failed dismally. I think they ended 8 out of 10 teams in Sydney. And a gentleman on the name of Roger Malt decided that for South Africa to compete, you got to have a structure in place in South Africa. And he started off in the Western Cape, and with about 8 clubs, he introduced to over 40s cricket, although the World Cup is over 50s, and my club Montrose were invited to play with St. Augustine's and a few other clubs from the South African, from the Western Province Cricket Association from that time. And that is how the over 40s league started. And I can tell you it's a competitive league. You play it on a Wednesday from 4 o'clock in the afternoon, a 20 over side, and it's actually very good. And like I said, if you want to play and want to play in the next World Cup that is in 2022, and I think it will be held in Cape Town again because of the postponement of the event due to COVID, then you've got to try to play cricket. That is all I say. A lot of our players will say, I should have made the team. Yeah. But if you don't play,
and
I can tell you now, if you're just going to go there and think it's over 50 World Cup, think again. You've got to be fit to play over 50 cricket. The countries, Australia, England, the West Indies, Pakistan, India, these guys have played this over 50 cricket for many, many years, and it's a serious business.
Yeah.
So you got to be fit. And what I say to, and especially to my former board players, get fit, guys. If you think you can still play, you can pitch up on a Wednesday afternoon, join a club that all the clubs don't have representation in the league, but they're welcome to move between clubs and try to get involved. But if you're not going to play, you can't be expected to play
for sure
in that league. And like I said, you've got to be at least between 70% and 80% fit to play proper cricket in the World Cup. But try to play over 40s first. Let's start there and be part of that league. And I think that, that was such a great initiative to get all older players, ex-players to get involved again. And it's actually good. I think it has taken off in Cape Town. I know there's leagues across the country now, and that can only help South Africa competing on this World Cup level.
Now, fantastic. Now, Nazim, you played in a province team that won 7 of the last 9 Howerball competitions. Of course, there were many legends in that team. We spoke about that. I'm asking you to share some of your memories with the province. We spoke about your memories with Montrose. Let's talk about some of your memories with the Western Province team.
Now, once again, I think it was just great players that when I also came in the team, I was fairly young. I can tell you about my first game. The great and the late Bremer Isaacs was injured, and it was against Natal at West Street Sports Ground.
You always mention my former province, eh?
So I was called up, and the late Bremer Isaacs, he was injured, and that was my first game. And I looked up at the team. I still got a photo. Charlie van Skalkwyk was there. Armin Jabbar, Vincent Barnes, Rads Gabriels, Neil Fortune, Nasa Antule. And I looked up to these guys, because you only read about these guys a couple of years prior to your selection. And I can tell you there was a lot of characters in those teams, but they were so good at what they were doing that I just felt so privileged to play there. And I think that also helped me develop as a better cricketer playing with these guys. Then obviously Armin Jabbar, one of the great captains, the late Saeed Majid, they were just awesome cricketers. And I think I was just in awe of being part of those setups. Mansoor Abdullah, one of the great batsmen in South Africa, I would say, although he never had an opportunity. And again, people didn't see the quality of what we had in the South African Cricket Board and Western Province Cricket Board. But it was awesome playing in those. I think it was just one fantastic team. We were the stronghold of South African Cricket Board. Everybody wanted to beat us. I think our main challenges were Eastern Province, and then in the latter years, Transvaal started to buy the Vincent Barnes and the Barney Mohammeds, and Nelton Miller went to play for them. Johnny Kleinfeld, the late Johnny Kleinfeld. So it became very more competitive in the Howard Bowl, but it was just awesome playing with those cricketers. And also from a management point of view, Rusty Majid, you know, the late Georgie van Oort were involved. There were so many great cricketers and sporting personalities there that you could keep on talking about. But I think I was just blessed to be part of a setup where there were so many great players around me.
What about personal on-field duels? Was there any bowler that really, you know, you battled against, maybe from either Transvaal, Eastern Province, Natal, that maybe gave you a bit of a hard time while batting out there?
Yeah, I think as well, France was a good bowler. Also Abdul Jack Manak, he was always there. You know, he was a heavy competitor. He eventually came down to play for Western Province.
Yeah.
But I think Jack always challenged himself against the Western Province boys, and also wanted to play for Western Province. Yeah, I think he was a bowler that I respected a lot. Eastern Province, there was quite a few of them that because they always wanted to be the best in the Howard Bowl, and Kaya Majola was also a quality player. But there was quite a few players that I think that at times they were quite challenging to deal with. I think Jack Manak, he was one of the bowlers that I would say that he was always at you. You know, you never tried to waste the delivery, and I think that made him quite special.
Now, I had Vinnie Barnes in studio a couple of weeks ago. He said he mentioned you as well, and he said he had taken you to England, I think Scotland, to play a club cricket there. So tell us a little bit about that experience as well.
Yeah, 1987, we went down. Vincent was playing for Fergusley, I think the season before that. He had experience of Scottish cricket, and myself and Samsu Ahmed, we always wanted to experience cricket in the UK. and then he then set us up with I played for a club called Old Grammarians. It was a club that these guys went to a pure English speaking school, and that's why they were called Old Grammarians, you know, Old Grammar School.
Yeah.
So I played for them, and Samso went to play with Vinnie at Fergusley. It was an amazing experience. They were based in Glasgow, in Paisley, not too far from Love Street, where St. Mirren Soccer Ground is situated. And I think the key to that, my first trip overseas, was obviously getting to grips with the weather, getting to grips with the slow pitches, pitching up on a Saturday where it's overcast, it's gloomy. And some of these Scotties, teammates of mine come in a short sleeve, and I'm like in two or three jumpers, you know. But I think the experience was immense, for me to play, overseas cricket. And it was also one of my dreams that came through, to just go overseas and play cricket. I went over in 91 as well, to play for, Gloucester, cricket. The late Eddie Barlow set me up in Gloucester. So I played for Gloucester Cricket Club. They had a couple of practice sessions at Bristol County Cricket Ground. Jack Russell was the wicketkeeper there, so I picked up some tips from him. And then also, in 1993, I went to play for Bath Cricket Club, also in the west of England. Mm. So I had some quality experience down in the UK.
No, fantastic. Now, before I ask you about any regrets, Vinnie Barnes was a bowler who dominated board cricket. We know his record, most wickets. And I remember growing up in KZN, and I said to Vinnie as well that whenever a province played Natal, and the first thing you hear the Natal guys want to know, is Vinnie in the team? Is Vinnie in the team? Because they were petrified of him, really. What was it like keeping to him? I mean, you kept to him on numerous occasions. What was it like keeping to him?
No, I think it was just awesome keeping to to Vinnie, the quality of bowler that he was. And I think what happened is that batsmen fear the pace of Vincent Barnes. Vinnie was dangerous. He was very quick off the wicket, I can tell you that. And, he was at you all the time. The one thing about Vinnie was that, If he bowled a bad delivery, you could see it that he was upset, and I think that was the key to Vincent Barnes. He also was a clever bowler. It wasn't all about just running in and bowling, you know. He would pick up the shortcomings of the batsman, talk to the captain, set them up, you know. But what it was to stand wicketkeeper for Vinnie, it was awesome meeting that ball, just taking it always almost above your chest. But it was also nice to see how shocked the batsmen were facing Vincent Barnes. But he was a brilliant bowler. I love the pace of Vinnie Barnes. And then also, I just want to mention it, from a Montrose perspective, there was Reginald Klein, February. A swing bowler of note. He could just swing it both ways, you know. And we always talk about this when the Montrose guys get together, is that Reggie used to run into the wind at Rocklands Cricket Ground, you know. It was heavy winds down there, and Vinnie would come on the other side with the wind and just destroy the batting lineup.
Fantastic. Final question, Nazim. Any regrets? Knowing that many sportsmen and women, you know, couldn't get a chance to play at the highest level, of course, not your fault. But any regrets?
Yeah, I think we were born in the wrong era. I must say alhamdulillah to the Almighty for granting me the talent, you know, to play sport at a high level. Yes, the regrets is there. I think when Unity came, there was one or two seasons where things could have done better for the players that were still around, that could still play a season or two. I think that fell through the cracks. I also think that Unity was signed off poorly. It was done in a rush thing where the late Chief Chweti forced basically South Africa to go to India. And they just picked a team. One or two board players were selected. I don't necessarily say it was the right players that were selected, but I think a lot of things went wrong. They never played. Exactly. But regrets, yes. We were born in the wrong era, but regrets for being a good sportsman, having the ability to compete, you know. Like I said, we thank the Almighty for giving us that. But okay, you can't have so many regrets based on that. I just happy that I could contribute to sport in South Africa, and from a cricket point of view, I think I've contributed a lot. And and what I like also is that, and especially from your perspective, we are still being recognized. Even today, people talk about the great legends of the South African Cricket Board. And I think that is important for us, that that people don't forget about what happened and where the youngsters of today and what is happening in South African sport, where it all started, as long as you just give a bit of recognition to those players.
Absolutely fantastic. Dazeem White, thanks for chatting to me tonight, and all the best to you. I hope you enjoyed another edition of Inside Sport back at home. I'll be back with more sporty news on the drive time from Monday to Friday. From Ifiro Sheikh, have a lovely evening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is Inside Sport.